screaming and all that stuff. Philippians chapter 3, let's continue our study through this letter to the church of Philippi. I must say, I don't like the cold weather. I just, that's what it is. I'm just not that person. I like those brisk mornings. I like them about 50 degrees. I like it to be 70 during the day. But this 30 degrees all day stuff, I don't know. I guess that's why the birds fly south. So, Philippians chapter 3, we want to pick up in verse 12. That's where we were last Wednesday night. Philippians 3 and verse 12 says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I or also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Lord, we do thank you for this warm building that we can come into out of the cold. And Lord, we just want to thank you for that. Lord, I do want to thank you for this fine number of people that are here on this Wednesday night to hear your word preached, to sing praises to your name, and to worship, Lord. Lord, as your word has been read, I pray that it would find lodging in hearts. Lord, I pray for the Spirit to come in amongst us. Help us to learn from your word. And Lord, I just pray that we would leave here a better people. Lord, I do pray that you would use me to say something that would lift up your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you again for the finished work of the cross. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up to this point in this specific chapter, we could review, but we did that last week. But up to this point in this specific chapter, we have seen a few things. First off, we saw that we are to rejoice in the Lord. First thing he mentions in chapter 3 and verse 1 is that we are to rejoice in the Lord. And I think that is a state of mind for the believer. That's what we ought to be doing. There's a difference. Joy does not depend on circumstances. Okay, we need to make sure that we understand that. Okay, if things go bad, we still find our joy, we still find our hope, we still find our love in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we can always rejoice in the Lord. But while we are rejoicing, we need to beware that there are people out there that are twisting the gospel message. There in verse 2, it says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." Right? There's people out there who are trying to add works, trying to add mutilation, trying to add things to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the sake of salvation. And we know by Galatians chapter 1 that that's false. That if anybody adds anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. And so much so that not only does he repeat it once, but he goes right after the very next verse. He goes as far to say, even if I would come back and teach you something else, right? If I would come back, don't listen to that. If I teach you anything contrary to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, let that person be accursed. Okay? There's people out there doing that. And we find out last week that when the Lord saves a sinner, that there's a change that takes place, that those old fleshly desires are gone. Paul considers his as rubbish, and they're meaningless and empty compared to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ, the surpassing value of knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. In the previous verses, Paul tells us that he wants to know Christ. but he wants to have a relationship with him, that he wants to be found in him, that he wants to share in Christ's sufferings, right? And most of all, I think that he says that he wants to be conformable even unto his death, right? It says there at the end of verse 10, for the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Okay. And being conformable to his death, we want that. That's kind of our focus. Our focus tonight is the striving of Christ's likeness. Okay. And being made conformable into his image. So before we do that, we need to pause a minute. The day that you were saved, the day that you trusted the name of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were justified. Okay. You were declared righteous before an almighty God, just as if I had never sinned. Anybody heard that before? Okay. What he does is he takes your sin and he puts it all on Jesus on Calvary. Okay. And then what he does in the same process is he takes the perfect righteousness of his son Jesus and puts it to your account, just as in Romans 4, where he says, Abraham believed and it was accounted. It was counted to him for righteousness. That is what happens the day that you are saved. Another mile marker is when you get to glory, that you will get a glorified body, a perfect body that's not going to ache, that's not going to sin no more, that's not going to worry about it being cold anymore, right? Okay? That's what's going to happen when you get to glory. But there is this, there's a middle ground, okay? This is where we're covering for tonight's sake. There's a word called sanctified, and it's got two meanings, okay? Sanctification is being set apart for a holy purpose. When God saves you, he sets you apart to accomplish and do his very will, okay? Now, the second part of that is that sanctification is a process. It is a process of becoming more and more like Jesus as we walk throughout this world, as we walk through this world, as we walk through our race, as we walk through our journey in the Christian faith. Okay, so this is a process of being conformed into the image of Christ. And it says, and Paul seems to think that he's really, really excited about this process. In our passage specifically, he's really excited about this. And he wanted this process, this sanctification, to happen so good, okay, that when he wanted to be so much like Christ, experience his sufferings, and be conformable unto his death, so much to the point that when he enters glory, all he did was change locations. That'd be a good goal to strive for, wouldn't it? That if I'm trying to cling to Christ, to be found in him, to know him, and to experience his sufferings and that kind of thing, that when that would be our peak of wanting to be like Christ, that the only thing that would change when we come to our lives in here is that we would just change locations. I think that would be great. I think that's a good goal. And as we go through this life and as we grow into mature Christians, or at least I hope we do, right? That is the goal, is not to stay babes, but to grow, that we should be more and more like Christ each day. Okay? We should be becoming more and more like him with every breath that we take. And what better example to follow than the Lamb of God? Right? He come, like we've said before, that yes, he came to die for sinners, but he also come to live. We need to make sure that we understand that. Now, he was born of a virgin, 100% perfect, but he lived a perfect life. Nothing like we can do. The scriptures say that he was tested and tried in every manner that we were, and yet he is without sin. He lived for you and me. And he died and was buried and rose again. We have to make sure that we understand that. So if we're wanting our identity to be found in him, then we need to strive to be like him. Anybody remember when you was a kid? I can remember when I was in the mid 90s, the coolest person in the whole world was Michael Jordan, right? He was the coolest person, right? Even Gatorade would make their commercials if I could be like Mike, right? Okay. How many times have you, those of you who play sports, if you didn't play sports, I'm sorry. These are the illustrations I'm going to use. But how many times did you hit that game winner playing at the park with your friends so that you could be like Mike? How many times did you, I know that I did, how many times, Caleb, did you hit that putt on the practice green to win the Masters to be like Tiger, right? How many times did you, when you and your friends were throwing football in the street, you was Joe Montana or Brett Favre throwing the touchdown to win the Super Bowl? But those are worldly people. Those are vain images. Those are imperfect goals, right, to be attained. But we're talking about striving to be like Jesus, to be perfect, to be according to His image. And when the Lord changes your heart, I don't think that you want to be like Mike or Brett Favre or Tiger. I think you want to be like Christ. I think that's what you should be wanting to do. And the first thing, in order to be conformed to the image of Christ, Paul says it takes drive in verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. There's a lot of people out there that are satisfied with just being saved. And I don't think that's what the Scripture teaches. I don't think that's what the Scripture teaches. I think churches get caught up in that too. Okay? Churches get caught up in that because we want, how many churches you've been to that they say, get up here to the altar and accept Jesus as your Savior, and then they set you on your way and pat you on the butt and say, best of luck. I don't think that's how it works. I think that we are to disciple those people. The commission says to go, make disciples, baptize them, add them to the church, and then what? Teach them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The commission tells us to go, not sit. Right? We need a little bit of drive behind us. There's no drive with sitting. There's no drive with satisfaction. Actually, the Believer's Bible Commentary says that satisfaction is the grave of progress. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That if you're satisfied, I understand. Don't get me wrong. I know that Paul later says that in every circumstance we are to be content. But it's content in living the life of Christ. It's not contentment in sitting still. Okay? It's contentment in whatever circumstance we may find us in. Paul says here in our text, he says, not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect. I've not reached it. I've not reached the life of Christ, and I have work to do. Paul knew that he wasn't perfect, but he needed to try to be. He needed to strive to be. If he was going to be like Christ, I have not attained, I've not arrived, I'm not perfect. I have not reached Christ's likeness. And that's true for us, right? That is true for us. We've not reached that goal. We've not reached that prize. We have not reached that point in our life, okay, where we can love like we should. Since we're not there, we must follow after, right? Since we're not already perfect in verse 12, he says, but I follow after, okay, those things that are of Christ. He says, I want to, this follow after is the same thing as in, what is it, in verse 14 where he says, I press on, which requires an aggressive, energetic action. Okay, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, Peter says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Making every effort, those things that we need to be a mature Christian don't come naturally. You know, I tell you what, let's turn over there for just a minute. Let's turn over there to 2 Peter chapter 1 for just a minute. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, It says, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, I believe that means his word, right? I believe that his word is our instruction manual to a life, you know, full of biblical character and godliness, okay? But it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, which is what we're talking about. We're trying to inherit, we're trying to grow, we're trying to strive for this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And this is what I want you to understand is, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. These things, this list here, it's not something that comes natural. It says, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence. It says, add knowledge, okay? We have to constantly be in the scriptures to understand what that is supposed to be. We are to add temperance or gentleness. We are to add patience. We are to add godliness. We are to add brotherly kindness. And most of all, we are to add love, right? That's what we're looking for. We are to add these things to our faith. These are Jesus' characteristics that we need to add to our Christian walk. Okay, these are the things that we are to strive for. The Christian race requires drive. Okay, at the end of this verse, it's a little confusing from the King James read, so I want to read it from the ESV. I think it makes it a little clear. It says, I press on to make it my own, talking about being made conformable unto the image of Christ and unto his death, okay, unto his image. I want to make that life my own because Christ has made me his own. Romans chapter 12 says that is our reasonable service. You know, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. It is only reasonable, in my opinion, that since Jesus died to pay your sin debt that you could never pay, that you would just submit to him. I think that's only reasonable. Okay? Paul wanted to be like Christ. He wanted to be close to him. He wanted to imitate him. He wanted to conform to him. And why? Because Jesus made him his very own. He chose him to be one of his children before the foundation of the world. Right? He made him one of his own. Jesus dying in our place that would make, for those who would believe on him, that would make those people to be found in him. We should give our lives back to him. We should make his life our own. We should do those things and strive for those things. It takes drive to be made conformable unto his image. And like I said a minute ago, we're supposed to be content, right? The scripture says just in the next chapter, in chapter 4, that wherewith, whatever circumstance we find ourselves to be content, but our contentment comes in Christ. We have to make sure that we understand that our contentment comes from a life that is seeking after, yearning for Christ, trying to be like him, and letting him live through us. That's what we're looking for. In verses 13 and 14, we go from drive to that drive needing a direction. Okay? That drive needs to be directed at something. It says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? If we have a goal in mind, if our striving or if our drive is to be like Christ, then we need to be able to take the correct path. Okay? We need to make sure that we are on the right path. I wish Lee was here. I was going to give him a hard time. They went to Savannah, Georgia here last week, I think. Does that sound right? And I don't know about you guys, but when I go on a road trip, how many of you all consult a map before you go? Right? Is that even a thing anymore? I mean, with all our technologies and stuff like that, I say that because when I was little, we did. But now, I mean, you pull out your phone and say, I want to go here. What's the shortest, most direct path? How do I get there the fastest? Right? That's what we do. But when you're looking for a direction to go or a path to take, you know, and you want to stay on course, okay? We want to stay on course, and sometimes we get off track sometimes. Sometimes we get off track, but we are still looking for that course. Most of you are looking for the one road, the best, the easiest, the fastest to the target. And our target is to be like Christ. Our target in this life is to be like Christ. I want you to see specifically in this verse that he says, where did it go? Oh, yeah, in verse 13, it says, I count not myself to have attained that target, but one thing I do. I want you to understand, if you want to circle something in that verse, circle one thing. His eyes are on one path. And I think that that is where Satan works the best. I think that that is where Satan does his best work, is to get us busy. That's our culture. That is what our culture is, the next greatest best thing. I got a question for you. Don't answer, because it might hurt my feelings. How many of you come in here tonight thinking about what you're going to do after you leave here? How many of you came in here tonight thinking about tomorrow? Okay? The reason I say that is because, and I'm as guilty as any. Don't get me wrong. We've been in sales meetings all week. I'm worried about what's going on tomorrow morning. I'm as guilty as any, okay? But the idea, Paul says here, my focus is in one spot. Okay? I don't want to be sidetracked. I don't want to be distracted. Satan uses all these things to make you ineffective. Even if God has paid your sin debt and you have trusted him as your Savior, he wants to make you ineffective. But we have to be on the right path. We have to keep our eyes there. Okay? Luke chapter 10 and verse 42. We all know that story where Jesus comes to the house of Lazarus and his two sisters are there. Okay? There's one that is worried about serving. Right? And there's one that's not. And what does Jesus tell? What Martha was doing was a good thing. But it wasn't the one thing. It wasn't the right thing. It says, Martha, Martha, you're worried about all these things, many things. But one thing you need. One thing you've missed. And Mary has chosen the good part. She had sat at the feet of Jesus, just listening to him teach, wanting to be at the feet of Jesus to listen to his lessons so that they could be like him. One thing. We can't be distracted. It takes a solid direction and staying on course. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it to you. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, my heart's desire, one thing, right? Paul's one thing. If it wasn't to be like Christ, in Romans chapter 10, I think, and in verse 1, he says, my heart's desire and prayer for the people of Israel is that they would be saved. One thing. We have to make sure that we stay focused. One thing to desire. In order to stay on course, we must, if you go back to our passage there, it says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Okay? We need to understand that when we forget those things, we don't really mean that they're free from memory. Okay? We always remember those things. But the idea here is not to be influenced by them. What was the things last week that we talked about that Paul was influenced by? He was influenced by his heritage. He was influenced by his education. He was influenced by his zeal to persecute the church. He was influenced to do anything that was contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They said, I'm going to not be influenced by those things. I'm not going to be influenced by the law that I've tried so hard to keep. But he found out that if he would stay on the path of Christ, he could not be influenced by those things. He wouldn't be got off track. In order to stay the course, it says we're not going to be influenced by our past, but we're going to reach forth to those things which are before. Those things that we keep our eye on. One of the coolest things to me, one of the coolest verses in all Scripture is Romans 8 and 18, where it says, for the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. That is where my hope is. That's where my focus is. That all of the chaos that's going on in this world, just like David's heart's desire was to be in the temple of God, my heart's desire is to see Christ. And to be like him. That's what our goal is. That's what our striving is for. That is where our direction is. In order to stay the course, we must reach for the prize. We must reach for the goal or the promise. And it says in verse 14 that I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. We must press to what God has called us to be for him. And one commentary goes as far to say as we are called to discipleship, to making more disciples and followers of Christ's likeness. That's what our goal is. That is what our drive is. That is our direction. And it seems like a good path to take. It seems like that's a good path to take. If you remember back in chapter 1 and verse 28, it says that we're in nothing terrified by our adversaries, right? We're not terrified by them, but to the evident token of perdition, but to us it's salvation, right? All of the distractions that our adversaries can throw at us, but if we would stay the course, the point there was to trust the track record, right? To trust the faith. And it seems like a really good path to take. Not only do we need desire or drive, not only do we need direction, but my goodness, we need discipline. We need discipline. And here's the fun part. In verse 15 and 16, it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Those that have trusted the blood of Jesus are on the same journey. They're on the same journey. They're on the Christian race. They are on the Christian journey, path, direction. But we're in different places. It's the same trail, but we are in different places. Okay? And let me give you an example. If you were in the garden with Jesus when the army came to arrest him, would you be slinging swords or would you be fixing ears? If our goal is Christ-likeness, what should we be doing? Fixing ears. But what would you be doing? Where are you at in your journey? Let me ask you another question. If you were there in John chapter 8 when they threw the adulterous woman before Jesus, what are you doing? Are you casting stones or are you casting forgiveness? I can tell you from personal experience that I have cast stones. I have cast stones. And I'm ashamed of myself. But that was a journey that I needed to be prepared for. That is a journey that I needed to learn my lesson on. We're at different parts in our journey. The same spot in his journey as Clarence is or Bertha is not the same path that Sam is in or Jordan is in. We're not in the same position in our journey. We still all have things to learn. Okay? And we all need to learn that we are not perfect. mature Christians need to understand that we are not perfect. One of the books that I was reading for a class I'm taking says that humility starts when you understand your own proneness to sin. When you understand that you are as easy to fall as anybody else, you start looking at people that do fall differently. Because you're kind of like, oh goodness, them today, me tomorrow. It's powerful stuff. Okay? And that's where our goal is. That's where our journey is to be like Christ, to be fixing ears, to be casting forgiveness. He says, where are your accusers? He said, I don't condemn you either. Paul says that we need to be this minded, that mature Christians know that they are not perfect. Okay? They know they're not perfect. He says, and if you're not of this mind, right? He says, if you're not of this mind, He says, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, right? He said, God shall reveal this to you. We pray that God will reveal the next conviction to them. Okay? God reveals himself to each of us in different ways at different times in our lives. Paul said in one of his letters, I give you milk because you cannot handle the meat. Right? I preach unto you as babes, give you the milk of the word because you can't handle the deep doctrines of the scriptures. Okay? At certain parts in our lives we are revealed his promises, his blessings. Even finding out the will of God in your life. If there's one message, I like to think that every preacher has one message. Okay. I don't know why I think that. I know we preach the whole council, but I feel like there's one focus. Like for Pastor Jeff, it's to be ready. Like I think you all can agree with me. It's be ready. When your time comes, be ready to meet Jesus. Charles Stanley on TV, I feel like his message is to find the will of God for yourself, you know, according to his will, right? Find the will of God for your life and then worship him in that manner. Okay? That is what we need God to reveal. Okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says that men ought to pray that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? That's not that whole verse, but you understand the concept. Okay? That he wants people to come to fullness of the truth. It says that the scripture comes so that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. And Paul says in verse 16, to the measure God has revealed himself to you, live by that. Right? Live by that. Live by the convictions that God has placed on your heart and ask for more. How do I be more like Christ? The things that I see in Scripture and the things, like I told you, I casted stones. And that's not what Jesus would have done. And I'm so convicted by that. But how do I be more like Christ? Now that I've learned that lesson, right? I didn't say it was easy to do. I just say now that I've learned that lesson, I need to live by that, what God has shown me. He says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, the knowledge that God has given you, live by that. Right? Live by that, because the Christian is supposed to be striving to make the life of Christ his own, knowing that we will reach it when we get our glorified body, so that when we see him, we will be like him. That's our goal. That is our prize, is that we want to be like Christ. We started this thing by saying, striving for Christ's likeness. In order to be like Christ, it requires desire. Okay? It requires a little bit of drive, diligence, making every effort. Because we're not like Christ. It's the truth. We're not like him. We still live in this sinful flesh body, but we should strive to be. We represent him. We don't want to make him ashamed of us. We're supposed to guard our testimony. It takes a little bit of drive. It takes a little bit of direction. We got to stay the course. We can't get, what's it say? It's, we're not supposed to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, right? Of those people that are out there twisting the scriptures to fit their own mold. We can't be distracted by that. We have to stay the course. We have to stay on the path, the direction. And it takes a little bit of discipline. Actually, it takes a lot of discipline. Because the more that God reveals to you, I think the more he requires of you. I think that. The more that he reveals to you, the more he requires of you. Because now you just know that much more of the truth. You know that much more of the truth, and you're going to be held accountable for that. It says that when we get to glory, we're going to give an answer for every, even as much as every word that is spoken out of our mouth. That's what it says. I pray that as we walk this earth, that we want to be more like him. I pray that we want to sling less swords. I pray that we want to cast less stones. I pray that we want to love like Jesus loves. Right? We want to do that. We want to live in a manner that when we strive to be like Christ, in this life even, when we strive to be like him in this life, that we are each and every day growing closer and closer to his image. Right? The scripture says it's who he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. We're supposed to be like him, be conformed to Christ. I pray that as we're doing that, that when it comes our time here, that all we do is just change directions. I hope that people see Jesus through us. I hope that we are so much like Christ that people see Jesus in us. I hope that that's your goal. I hope that's your goal tonight. When you leave here, I pray that you leave here. Examine your hearts. It says examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. And I pray that we get that right. Check your desires. What are they? Is it to be like Mike? Is it to be like Tiger? Is it to be like Brett Favre? Or is it to be like Christ? Is it to be like Jimmy Houston or Bill Dance or whatever? Right? I'm just saying, what's your desires? How's your direction going? How's your discipline in that manner? Those things that God has revealed to you, are you following them? That's only something that you can answer. Okay? So I do pray that you would not take this lightly as we go out. So let's all stand, if you would. I thank you for coming out on this cold Wednesday night, and come back.